T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Well, well, well. Good morning and welcome to the Jamie and Stoney Show. Why do I keep saying well, well, well? That's a Wojoism, right?
That is. Do you miss him?
No.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
But I know that whenever he walks into the building, usually at around 5:53. Well, well, well. What do we have here? All right, Bogey, you may not know this because you've only been alive for 30 of the 150 years of college football.
Yeah.
But college football's been around for 150 years.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Okay,
and your radio partner, Woj,
yeah,
has been writing that Friday Picks column for 149 of them.
I was going to say, yeah, I figured he was around for quite a few.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Please. He's been around for all of them. Yeah. Back with the leather helmet era. So in honor of the 150th anniversary of college football, we are counting down various things. And one website is counting down the greatest games in college football history. All right. 248-539-9797 is the telephone number. And the great thing about college football history, in my opinion, is that because of the nature of college football and the emphasis on the regular season schedule, you can have games that are mid-September games on this list. And to me, they hold up. Like, if you were to do this for the NFL, I feel like they almost have to be playoff games. You know, I don't think there's too many games. If you say the greatest games in the history of the National Football League, aren't they almost all postseason games?
Yeah, last year being the exception, though, that Monday Night Football game between the Rams and the Chiefs.
That
was as good a regular season game as we've gotten in a while, I think.
That was a very good game, yeah. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, it didn't have, you got to have, it has to have ramifications to it as well, right?
Yes.
And I just don't think this, I mean, like, for example, if you were to say, what's the greatest Lions game of the last 50 years? It'd be the Cowboys game in the playoffs.
The playoff game?
And then maybe the time they beat the Cowboys in a Monday Night Football game. But that wasn't even that impactful of a game. I mean, it didn't carry any weight to it because the following week they lost, I believe, to the New England Patriots.
See, wouldn't it have been, though, the Bears when they improved to 5-0 on that Monday night game? Just because
no.
I think everyone thought they were turning a corner. Jahvid Best did the 80-yard run. Calvin had a long touchdown. It was rocking. There were, what, 6 false starts on the Bears offensive line. That felt like a turning point. I would say okay. It's up there. I wouldn't say it's, you know, the best. But.
But I mean, if you're going on the greatest games in like recent Patriots history, they're all going to be playoff games,
of course,
or in their
yeah.
case, Super Bowls.
Well, I mean, when you're winning Super Bowls every year. You know. Right.
So what's your favorite game in college football history, or what is the greatest game in college football history? Do you want me to give you like the top three just to kind of like, it's not like we're trying to get something here. Like, oh, here's your answer. They decided that number one is the national championship game between USC and Texas in 2006. The Vince Young game, Reggie Bush, Matt Leinart, Pete Carroll at the top of their games.
The star power, the dynasty.
Star power was off the charts. The USC could have clinched it, tried to clinch it in the fourth quarter. I believe they were up, 11? That was this game, in addition to being maybe the greatest collegiate game of all time, also goes down as my greatest going to sleep misstep of all time.
No.
Yes. Yeah.
Were you doing you weren't doing the mornings at that time, were you?
I was
you?
Doing mornings for a different radio station.
Oh.
But it was, I believe, you know, it was about 11:30, 11:45, and I think USC went up 11.
It was like 37-26 or something like that. If I remember correctly.
I kind of pulled the Billy Packer. This one's over, Jim.
Wow.
No, I didn't say this one's over, Jim. But I was like, I'm gonna risk missing the greatest comeback in the history of college football and just go to sleep. And I missed it. So yeah. Number one, number two, Miami, Nebraska, the 84 Orange Bowl. That was kind of when Miami became Miami. And they won the national championship. Nebraska ran the tackle eligible play, remember, or the fumble rooski, whatever. Dean Steinkuhler, I believe. And the number
and they went for two to try to win it.
That's right. They went for two to try to win it. Instead, they got stopped. And so Miami won, and Miami won the national championship. And then number three is Boise State, Oklahoma.
Yep.
The Statue of Liberty game, the 2007 Fiesta Bowl. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Now, that was a great one. Where would Alabama, Georgia from just a couple of years ago? stack up when Tua came in the second half. The walk-off, you know, bomb, you know, for the touchdown for Alabama to beat Georgia. That was a phenomenal game. Phenomenal ending. It had twists and turns.
Yeah.
Didn't make the top 10.
Wow. In fact, the Clemson-Alabama game from 2 years ago where Clemson won its first national title, not the one
Hunter
last
Renfro
year.
Hunter Renfro with the big catch.
Hunter Renfro, yeah, exactly.
I could see that. I mean, that was phenomenal.
Yeah. All right. What is the greatest college football game in your mind that you've seen? And it could be like a, it could be a random one too. I mean, that's kind of the fun of it, right? Is it could be a game that maybe is near and dear to your heart.
I mean, just keeping it local, and it's not a you know, national championship game or playoff game or anything. But what was it, Michigan Minnesota 2003 at the what was it called? The old
Metrodome.
The Metrodome.
Friday
yeah.
night.
John Navar that Friday night when they got down, what, 2 or 3, 4 touchdowns.
They were way down.
Shalik Abdur Khalik, and they had Lawrence Maroney and Marion Barber III. They were running all over Michigan.
I do remember that game.
They had the throwback pass to John Navar, who ran it in for a touchdown and came all the way back. That was a great game. I was at my girlfriend at the time's house in her basement watching that. And I turned it off for like 5 minutes.
It's Friday night.
And then I was like, well, wait, you know, I mean, I might as well turn it back on, see what's going on. And that was when they started to make the comeback.
What would be the greatest Michigan and Michigan State games? I think State's greatest game is the trouble with the snap. It has to be. Michigan will never live that down no matter what.
That was the best finish. I don't know if it was the best game, though.
The game wasn't that great of a game.
I thought it was a pretty solid game.
It was okay.
God, now I'm blanking on his name. The quarterback before Denard, the number 5,
Tate Forcier.
That game at Michigan State. Yeah, that was actually a pretty good
Larry
game.
Larry Caper
too.
With the touchdown in overtime to win
it
for MSU.
Where it was like pouring rain and it was sunny and then it was pouring rain. And the Plaxico game ended up being a pretty good game where Brady got benched in the second half and shouldn't have been. And so Henson came in and Brady was actually playing well. And Plaxico had, what, 2 long touchdown passes in that game?
You got the Spartan Bob game in 01. You've got
that
the when they beat
game.
Number 1 Michigan in 1990.
Oh, the fine defensive play in the end zone there?
Come on. That was pass interference.
Of course it was.
You have the classic 12-9
Michigan
game.
State people refer to it as a great defensive play.
Or the Braylon game, too.
To me, that would take the cake. I'm sure Spartan fans would argue it's trouble with the snap because of, you want the result to be in your favor, but... Yeah, the Braylon game was unbelievable.
I was, you know, because my son is 13, so he's, you know, there's some games that he just wasn't aware of at the time or wasn't born for. He was, I think, 4 when Little Giants happened, and the other day they were showing it on Big Ten Network, the classic, you know, the 1 hour condensed games. And he's like, what game is this? I'm like, oh, this is Little Giants. And so I explained to him the scenario. That was actually a pretty damn good game, too, Michigan State Notre Dame. Eric in Waterford, 97, won the ticket. What's up, Eric?
How you guys doing this morning?
We're good, man. How are you?
Good. Hey, you kind of stole my thunder because that was my pick right there that I think it was 2015 or something with the, trouble with the snap. Jalen Watts Jackson ran that in for them to win that game. I'm a huge Sparty, so that was probably the best moment in Spartans history except for the Notre Dame game when they take the punt. And threw it to the tight end, but what a great play! What a good game! And that's my pick.
That actually, I mean, I'm trying to think about that game and how it transpired. Michigan State, didn't they run not a fake, but they kind of did a misdirection where they had a fullback
out of the backfield, 60 yards,
a huge gainer in the second half.
Yep.
And the thing that's so amazing about that game is because it ended the way it ended. Where if you tried to reenact that 100 times, you would only get the result one time. But nevertheless, people try to find fault as opposed to just accepting it was a fluky, crazy play that happened. It's like, well, why were the gunners on the outside? Why didn't they throw deep? Or why didn't it's like it was catch the ball and punt the ball and the game's over.
I agree.
Or you shouldn't have had a running punter out.
Or even kick the ball out of bounds. I mean, any other scenario, the clock would have stopped or the clock would have run out and Michigan State would have. There was no other scenario that worked. That was a 1 in a million play. In a way, I mean, I know Michigan fans don't feel any better about this, but it is a reminder of why sports is great because just when you think you've seen everything. I mean, you know, watching that game at home, it's like, okay, well, this game's over. There's no scenario that can happen where Michigan is going to lose this game, and they found a scenario.
Yeah, I mean, I felt the same way. I would say I always marvel at, you know, the kicker that comes off the bench cold, the
place kicker,
the place kicker, but also the holder. You know, if have a game-winning field goal, or if it's the punter who comes off the bench who's not a part of the game, and like the game is in your hands, you have to catch that ball and punt that ball. You have to catch that ball and place that ball and kick them. Guys who aren't even really in the game, but you got to deal with the nerves and just come out cold and make it happen.
Well, think about this. Like, other than Greg Hargrave, our Michigan football historian,
I bet you
most Michigan fans wouldn't even remember the name Blake O'Neal. If he had just punted the ball away, it'd be just like, okay. That would have been a footnote to the game. Nobody would be like, oh, and who could forget when O'Neal got off that punt at the very end to salvage victory against Michigan State? No, it would have been like, yeah, Michigan State tried to run the clock down. They had to punt the ball away to end the game, and that's exactly what they did.
What that game gave us, too, is the kid in the stands with the glasses after. Yeah. I mean, you're going to see any college football package, like a montage or something of stunning things. You're always going to – that will exist forever.
Yeah, exactly. Let's go to Dan in Warren on 97.1 The Ticket. Hello, Dan.
Good morning, guys. Great topic. I've got a couple. The first night game at the Big House, when Denard threw the touchdown pass with 8 seconds left, everybody thought they would line up for a field goal to go into overtime. Yeah, that's the best game I've ever attended.
Yeah, Roy Roundtree in the corner of the end zone.
It was definitely the best, like, last 6 minutes.
Yes.
I mean, it was just back, and every time, it felt like there were about 7 game-winning touchdowns in the last few minutes of that game.
Yeah, just the emotional roller coaster that crowd went through in the fourth quarter of that game was incredible.
Yeah. And a little-known fact about that is Stoney left early.
Yeah. My second game, even though we lost it, was the Michigan-Texas game in the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. Vince Young.
Dan, a lot of people call that the Vince Young coming out party. I call it the Steve Breston game because he had like 250 kick return yards. Like, literally, every single time Texas kicked off to him, he got it into Texas territory. It was absolutely insane watching him put just team Michigan up for points.
I think most people view that game as the game where Mac Brown screwed Cal, and Cal really should have been there instead of Texas, right? Isn't that how most people view that game? You know, it's not the Vince Young coming out party. It would have been Aaron Rodgers and his crowning achievement taking Cal to the Rose Bowl for the first time.
I guess.
Since the 50s.
Sure.
Or maybe that's just me.
All right. Who cares about Aaron Rodgers?
I did. 97 won the ticket.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.